You are listening to Live with Thrive, an interactive conversation with host Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Stephanie will be showcasing nonprofit agencies and business leaders that help support the community through Thrive, as well as discussing upcoming events and local news. Catch the Live with Thrive show every second Tuesday of the month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.
Good morning. Happy Taco Tuesday. It is Live with Thrive, and I am your host, Stephanie Hale. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for listening, and I have some awesome friends and guests with me today. And before we get to that, I want to mention, I know that Mike and Bob and John play our lovely 30 Guns in 30 Days ad. We are still doing a raffle. Thrive in Southern New Mexico, 30 Guns in 30 Days. You have 17 days left to buy your ticket. 17 days left. If you would like to get a ticket, they are $50. You can go to the Thrive in Southern New Mexico office, 1601 10th Street, or you can give us a call at 437-8400, and we will get you all signed up for that 30 Guns in 30 Days. It's coming up quick. You get it. There's a chance for a firearm every day in June, so get your tickets today. Also, I want to mention that Thrive in Southern New Mexico is hiring an office manager. So if you are qualified to keep me on the straight and narrow path, please come and apply. Stop by the office, pick up an application at 1601 10th Street. So let's go ahead and get started with Live with Thrive. Good morning, Mr. McMurray.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks.
And
thanks
Ms.
for having me.
Brenda, thank good. You.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, Stephanie.
I'm so glad you guys are here. Are we doing okay on sound? We're good. Okay. I got my standby mic here. So in case I push the wrong button and somebody starts screaming, it's Mike's fault, really. So I'm so glad you guys are here today, because both of you, Brenda, I know that you're retired from the school system, and Ryle is still in the school system. And before you got in here, Brenda, I was like, oh, do you know Brenda Dorsey? And he was like, oh, yeah, we worked together for years. I'm like, duh. I should have known that. But I'm so glad that you guys are here, because both of you are some of my favorite personalities ever. I just love talking to you both. So I want to start by first asking both of you how long you've been with your respective agencies.
Well, I started with our Imagination Library here in Otero County at the beginning with Dave Weaver, and that was exactly 10 years ago last month.
Well, congratulations.
So. Yay.
Oh, my gosh. 10 years.
10 years.
She's modulating.
Uh-oh. Do we have an issue?
No.
Okay. My supervisor, Mike Durler, is standing behind me, and We're checking sound to make sure that we're good.
Yeah, I got her modulating on the board.
I'm modulating, whatever that
means.
Yeah,
she's pegging. She's on the
board. We're modulating, guys.
Okay. Scared. He said you were modulating, not us.
Well, sorry for the technical difficulties here. It's been a month, and I forgot which button to push. So we're good. And Brenda, how about you?
Okay, so I've been employed by Big Brothers Big Sisters since July 6th. However, when I was a teacher in the classroom and a principal, and later on even as a downtown administrator, I used Big Brothers Big Sisters for probably the last, I want to say, 20 years. I matched all of my kids when I was a teacher in the classroom.
That's right.
And so all of my kids had Bigs. And then they'd go to the next grade level, and then they stayed matched because the people loved them, and I'd match the next group. And so we did that for a lot of years. And so I feel like I've been with the agency for about 20 years, but I've been involved with them. But I've been actually getting a little bit of a paycheck since July 6th.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Don't you love it?
Yes. And you know, Stephanie, I used to tell people when I retired from the schools, I'll work for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
And look what you did.
But I meant like I'd come and do things like this for them. and I'd go out and do presentations mm-hmm. for them because right. I love doing stuff like that. So that's what I meant. I didn't mean I'd do a lot of paperwork and I'd do payroll and file review. I mean, that wasn't exactly what I was talking about. But anyway, it's been great, and I absolutely love it.
But you know, the good things, all of those things you mentioned, they outweigh all of the boring, mundane tasks, I think. I mean,
yes.
That for me, I know that's true for me, you know, having to do reports and reports and reports, and then all of the fun of fundraising and working with community members and agencies such as yourself totally outweighs all of that boring.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about you? You feel the same
Absolutely.
Way?
And, you know, for me, like Brenda, when we're working with kids, that's the great part. Oh, because sure. Then I see a kid at the mm-hmm. grocery store and they're like, your name's on my book. And I say, oh, what's your favorite? And they always say, Llama Llama Red Pajama. And I'm like, me too. I love it.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's
a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
We know those children's books.
We do.
I'm sure you do. So, let's talk about the programs itself and how Thrive impacts those programs for you.
Well, certainly, we've been a partner agency for, I don't even know how long, a while. Not quite that long, but when it was still United Way,
right.
We were partner agencies. And so one of the great things that has happened for us is that we don't have to go out and do all the little tiny fundraisers that don't really yield very much.
Right.
We can go to people and say, like, payroll deductions through Thrive, and that helps us out tremendously.
Sure. How about you, Brenda?
And I kind of like what Ryle was saying. I think we've been, Big Brothers Big Sisters has been part of United Way and then Thrive, and I remember when they used to come to the schools to present, and the presenter would always say, because Dave Weaver was on the board at the time, and they'd always say, well, and you can make your individual donation for Dolly Parton's mm-hmm. Imagination Library, and I'd be sitting there going, or you can fund Big Brothers Big Sisters, hello, you know. And so I used to sit under that year after right. year, and every year I'd like raise my hand and they'd go, yes, Brenda, and I'd go, or you can write in Big Brothers Big Sisters, you know. And so anyway, that was really a big thing. But Thrive, like Ryle said, we have one major fundraiser a year, and then we depend on Thrive, and it's really nice to not have to go sell candy bars
right.
or, you know, not have to go get little booklets and sell them to people or whatever.
Right.
It really makes us be able to focus on the work that we really want to do, which is promote our children in whatever way. I know for us, it's one-to-one mentoring in the site-based program and the community-based program. And for Ryle, it's with books in their hands. You know, he takes care of them until they're 5. I pick them up at 6.
Right.
So from 5 to 6, they need to do some reruns of the book. And then I pick them up at age 6. So, yeah. But Thrive is very instrumental, and it's lovely to get a check once a month and know that that's every month you're going to get that check. And it really helps us to not only keep matches, but to make new matches in Otero County. And that's something that's so critical today.
And like I'm sure with you, Brenda, we have a small board of like 12 people. And so like large scale fundraising is that falls on our shoulders. And so we can't really do that.
Yeah.
So Thrive is tremendously helpful.
Well, you know, we love to take the credit, of course, but what it really is the community. And
yes.
we just try to make it as easy and simplified as possible so that people can donate easily through their payroll deductions. And most organizations that are our Thrive friends or partners allow their employees to do that. Which makes it so much easier because you know, not everyone has $1,000 laying around or even $100 laying around
sure.
to give to their favorite charity. So if you just take a few bucks out of your each paycheck, I mean, man, that mm-hmm. adds up. And that's why we try to simplify that. So that's really good to hear, and especially those listening right now would love to know a little bit more about it and how it works. So thank you for sharing that. So we've all had some challenges this year. Can't deny that. I know for you, Brenda, you all have a physical location. I know Dolly Parton does not, So tell us about your challenges that you've had to work through the pandemic and how you've overcome those.
Okay, so interestingly, I got hired during the pandemic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I had actually taken one box into my office, and then I had checked with Albuquerque to see if my daughter could come down and help me decorate my office, and they were like, no, Brenda, we're not even allowed in the office. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess you shouldn't have given me a key. But anyway, so out of the office we go. So we've been working virtually up until last week.
Wow.
Last week we came back to the office, and we're now working Monday through Thursday, 9 to 3 in the office, and Friday by appointments. We've just been back in for a little, this is our I think this is either our second week or our third week that we're back in. But Stephanie, there's a lot of new doors that have opened for us during COVID. And I think that it bears talking about just for a minute that our program was very much dependent on site-based or school-based mentoring. And we depended on the schools exclusively. And so we maybe had one or two community matches if people said, well, I'd rather do something out and about. And then we were like, oh, okay, well, by all means, we do have a second program. But because of this pandemic, we really have started cultivating community-based programming. And we have at least 40 community-based matches right now. So that is, you know, that is something that probably would not have happened because we would have stayed reliant on the schools.
Right.
And then we've also partnered with Legacy Christian Academy because they were a school that would allow us to come in.
Sure.
We've partnered with the Boys and Girls Club because they would also allow us to come in. So we've learned that that we can still do one-to-one mentoring. Yes, we love getting the kids from the school. It makes our numbers go up astronomically the minute we can get involved with the schools. But we have made it work, and we have reached kids that really needed us during this pandemic. And our hope is just that we can continue to do that. But so many doors, we have virtual events now. And that's something we didn't have, but now we have a bingo night virtually once a month. We have an arts and crafts once a week. We have a Netflix movie night. I mean, you know, we do things online with kids and bigs that we wouldn't have even thought about doing that.
Amazing how creative we've gotten through the pandemic.
Yeah.
To keep ourselves going in our businesses and our organizations.
Well, and technologically savvy.
Right.
I mean, things that we couldn't even figure out how to do. Now it's like, we've got it, you know?
We are all pros. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Zoom queen.
Zoom CEOs, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And they're making, I wish we could tap into their money.
No kidding.
Right.
We all should have bought stock.
No kidding. We
yep.
should have.
Yeah. So that's great. How about you guys? I know you don't have a physical location per se, but
right.
how has the pandemic affected?
So there were a lot of things we were on track to do and then just have gotten put on the back burner because mm-hmm. we can't do them. But our big vision is like to register every child under 5 here in Otero County, and we've been fortunate that with partnerships through the hospital of every baby that's born, they register for us.
Right.
So our registrations have grown during the pandemic like you wouldn't believe. I think February of 2020 we were about 1,700. Now we're over 2,000. So,
wonderful.
And you know, we graduate. The hard thing is, you think like, oh, well, that's not very much every month, but it is because we graduate 30 to 50 every month.
Right.
So we replenish those and then add on to it.
Well,
so.
Just look mm-hmm. out because I'm sure we'll have a pandemic boom.
Yes.
So be
right,
prepared.
Get we're ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know it's coming. You know it's coming. So, well, that's great. Just like us, you know, we stayed open through the pandemic, and we continued to help as best we could. I mean, we still continue to receive donations and pay the agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, luckily we were able to still do that because, like you said earlier, you all sometimes depend on those Thrive payments that come from the community members. So
right.
that's really good to know. We kind of touched on this. How important, if you didn't have Thrive funds, community funds, how or a centralized agency like Thrive to help your programs, how would you survive? What would you do?
So for us, like I said, we're going on our 10th year now, but for most of that time, we depended solely on donations from individuals and businesses. And so like that's how we have always managed. So prior to that, I mean, with that, we would do little fundraisers every, you know, pancake breakfast. We'd make $300 and, you know, things like that. The Chili's night, right?
Minimal
right.
Donations when you need just one
right?
big, you know, funding
source. So it would just be lots of little things all along, and which
exhausting.
It is exhausting, especially when there's a limited number of people who can help.
Right.
So that's... I mean, we still do fundraisers, and they're great, but Thrive, thankfully, helps us keep our sanity.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Good
how
point.
Many, tell us how many kids are signed up right now?
So our books that were just mailed last week, I think it was 2,047
That's
so
great.
That are registered.
And how many do we need to hit that...
Well,
every child in Otero County.
I think that magic number is several thousand, four to 6,000, I believe. So we've got a ways to go,
sure.
But we're working on it.
And let's keep in mind, they don't have to sign up right when they're born. They can
right.
sign up any time between the ages of birth to five.
Right. That is correct. So the good thing about getting them from birth is that by the time they graduate out at five, they'll have a library of 60 books.
Right. Which is phenomenal.
Right.
I don't have any children, but I'm thinking I might go get one so I can get the
right.
books.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a great amount
yeah.
of books.
It is. It is. How do you guys see your programs going forth in the future, pandemic or not? Because you know we're in the turquoise now, and let's hope we continue to stay there and perhaps. Have it all lifted and be back to a fully opened community. But mm-hmm. Let's say it doesn't. What if we have another few weeks of backtracking and you guys aren't able to go forward in fundraising and stuff? What are your plans for the next several years?
So you want me to go first?
Yes.
Ladies before gentlemen?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we will continue to do some of the things that we are currently doing. We will, even with or without a pandemic, we are going to continue on with our virtual events. We are also going to continue making community-based matches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already meeting with some of the teachers from Yucca and with the principal from the high school, and we're talking about matching their child development classes with some kids at Yucca. And then if they can go to the schools, they could walk over. If they can't, then they could definitely be on computers.
Right.
And whole class model. And so we are never going to rule out that what if this happened again?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to say, we're going to live today like it could happen again tomorrow.
Right.
And so even our community-based matches, we are encouraging them to attend virtual events at least once a month. Because then we know they know how to get into Zoom. We know they're familiar with all of us that are on the Zoom meetings. And so we're encouraging even our community-based matches who have no reason to be virtual to get onto our virtual activities at least once a month so that we know if this ever happens again, we will not have this huge loss.
Right.
You know, for our site-based kids, we didn't even have some of the parents' information because it was always done completely at schools. And it was done through the teacher, the student, and the parent did sign permission. But that was about where the parent responsibility ended for site-based.
Right, right.
And so we didn't have phone numbers. We didn't have emails. We had so many lack of ways to contact people to say, hey, we still want to do this, you know.
Yeah.
And so we have stepped that up now where we probably have over contact information on everybody. And we also, like I said, our virtual events are strong. We're going to make them strong over the summer. We're encouraging people to get matched now. Even
yeah.
if you're at a school, to get your kid in your high school big match now. And we'll carry them through the summer with virtual events.
That's great. That's
so
great.
We're going to make sure. I mean, our goal is to multiply this astronomically. And you cannot do that if you don't look for that this could happen again. Or we could regress and go back into it.
Right, we're all prepared.
We're just going to be ready.
Right,
yeah.
right. So Ryle, let's backtrack a little bit mm-hmm. and can you share with all of us how the Dolly Parton Imagination Library began with?
Sure.
I'm guessing Dolly Parton.
Yes. So this lady named Dolly Parton, you may have heard of
may
her.
May have heard of her.
She's kind of an icon, but she. what she wanted to do was really address the problem of dropouts, high school dropouts, in her hometown of Sevierville in Tennessee. And so they did lots of things, like they would promise them scholarships and all if they would graduate, and like they did buddy things. But the more that they researched, the more they discovered that the high school dropouts knew that they were going to drop out as early as the sixth grade.
No way.
Uh-huh. Which is crazy.
How do you know that, right? When you're in sixth grade that you're probably going to drop out?
Isn't that, that's just crazy.
And it is. I've,
obviously, we were not those kids.
Right.
So, right. So they continue to like drill that down. And what they discovered is those kids were, we hear a lot about the third grade reading level and kids who aren't on track. Well, those sixth graders were the ones who were not on track in third graders. In third grade, those third grade kids were the ones who were not ready in first grade and then kindergarten. And so what they discovered is this is a problem of before they get to school. And so what they kind of developed this program of, we got to get books into these kids' hands before they get to school, because all the research on the brain shows that that is the important time, like when the brain is growing. By the time they hit school, like it's either it's there or not.
Or it's not so much there.
And what Brenda and I know as teachers is it takes a lot of effort to remediate and provide intervention when if it happens, like if they're read to before, they're ready to learn. Mm-hmm. They may not know how to read when they come, but one thing that it does is increases their vocabulary like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so how can you read a word if you've never heard it?
Right.
So that's... That, I mean, everything that they looked at, that pointed to, this is what we need to do. So they said, you know, let's get them in their hands starting at birth. And they're like, well, how can we guarantee that the parents are going to read them? Well, you can't.
Right.
But I can guarantee you if there's no books in the home, they're not reading to them. Mm-hmm. So that was...
At least there's that option now that they have it in their hand.
And so it kind of worked well in that county in Sevierville. And then the governor of Tennessee said, hey... Let's see if we can do this statewide. And so they began to kind of grow. It went statewide in Tennessee, and then they set it up to be replicated all over the world. And so there's imagination libraries all over the place.
So it's not just the United States. They're all over.
Canada and Ireland and England, and then even Australia now, I believe.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Nice. Good for her. Didn't I watch in one of your videos that you've shared, I've seen all of your videos, something about she mentioned even her growing up, mm-hmm. And how that stuck with her.
Right. So her Dolly's dad was illiterate, like he could not read, and she always said he was one of the smartest men that she ever knew. And she said, just imagine what he could have done had he been able to read.
Right.
And the thing about reading is, if you can read, you can read a book about anything and teach yourself anything.
Right.
But if you can't read, you're almost crippled. That was her words, but I mean, you're really at a loss of your options.
Right. So. Do we even have any statistics on how that is in the United States, or even in our state, reading levels of folks? I remember when I was growing up and I would always hear these adults that were never taught to read. They didn't know how to read. They could only write their name and it was a scribble. Right. You know, I mean, now you don't really hear much about that. But do we know any statistics on that?
So I don't know currently. I haven't seen in a while, I guess. But what I do know is that when we've done surveys and things here, surveys in other places, what we know is that when kids are reading, when parents are reading to kids in the house, mm-hmm. that kind of increases their own reading. And so
For
the parents. So the whole family like becomes...
A family of readers.
More literate, sure.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing for the whole family.
For sure. That's amazing. And I just love that there's someone like Dolly Parton who could have done anything, mm-hmm. and she did. I mean, she's done so much with her life and her career, but it's so nice that she is able to help in this way instead of, you know, maybe building her own statue or, right. or yeah. you know, yeah. you know yeah. how, I mean, she's using her platform to do something and it has spread. I think that it touches people's hearts. Right. I love
and,
that.
And her philosophy is much of the three of us sitting here today of if you are in a position to give back, you should.
Right. Oh, yeah, I say that all the time. All the time. So, Miss Brenda, I have some questions for you.
I was hoping that the one you just gave to Ryle wasn't going to be mine, but I thought, well, I do know that we've been in the nation for over 100 years, and we've been in Otero County for 32 years. Oh, so I thought, if she throws that one on me, I'm not going to be able to say all this stuff that Ryle's saying. So I think if I keep shaking my head, she might not ask that one of me. She'll think I've already answered
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
anyway, okay,
so.
Stephanie, I'm ready. Give me a better one. One that's easier. Well, give me an easier one for me.
First of all, I did not know that Big Brothers Big Sisters had been around for over 100 years.
Okay, see? I'm
that's information that know. Is good. That's I didn't know that.
Over
so that's
100 years nationally.
Where did it start, do you know?
That was never part of my 20 years of bringing the bigs in. Ryle, do you know?
I have no idea.
Well, I do have.
I do know we don't have somebody like Dolly Parton spearheading us, and I wish we could. I'm constantly
don't
looking
we
at,
all?
Yeah, I'm constantly looking at. This is going to sound weird, maybe, but not in the group that I'm in right now that knows me. But you know, the I'm trying to think of what their names are. The ones that run for the on the TV that do all the great runs and. I can't think what it is now. It's completely left me, but LeBec is the girl's name.
Are you talking about, like, marathons?
No, no, no. The ones that they have to, like, climb up the ladder real fast, and they're compete the American Ninja. The Ninja.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, sorry, man. I'm wasting radio time for something that doesn't even matter. But every time we watch that, American Ninja Warrior, I tell my husband, why don't we get one of them? And see if they won't spearhead Big Brothers Big Sisters, because we need like an NFL player mm-hmm. or somebody that's really, you know,
right,
really a big guru,
like a spokesperson.
And I know they do in some communities, like mm-hmm. the ones that we have over in Kansas. Then they have like the Kansas City Chiefs. They go and talk for them and stuff like that. So they do. But poor Alamogordo, we just don't have that, you know, that big team or whatever. So anyway, I'm looking for that, Stephanie. When I find it, we'll come on the air again.
All right.
And
all
I'll
right.
tell you how we got started. Okay?
Just so everyone knows, if they're listening, we are not drinking at the moment.
No.
This is how it is when, you know, we get some fun personalities together. So, right?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now ask
drinking.
Me my real question.
Well, I did. I know. I'm just like, okay, did I ask that question already?
No, I'll answer it differently.
No, when you were back in the school system, and you mentioned that you were that you had worked with your organization for years and years. I mean, you mentioned 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So can you explain how you saw the results in the children that were being helped or tutored? I remember when I was in school and there were, you know, certain friends of mine would go out in the hall with somebody, and I'm like, okay, my mom told me that not to talk to strangers, mm-hmm. and now my friend's going out in the hall with a stranger. But it was a stranger to me, but maybe not to them.
Right. So
and
you
so
weren't matched?
I was not matched.
Sorry, you weren't in my class.
I know.
If you'd been in my class, you'd have gotten matched.
Well, I didn't go to school. I didn't go to grammar school here. I went to high school here.
Okay,
but,
well, there you go.
But I'm curious to know the how you as a teacher or as an administrator, even how you could see, even you, Ryle, being in the school system, how do you guys see that change in the student from, I mean, how long does it take? Some, I'm sure it takes longer, but share with us what you experienced that way with seeing the change in the child.
Okay, so that's a wonderful question. I like that question, Stephanie. Thank you for giving
that
me that.
That means she
one.
Has an answer,
yes,
folks.
Yes, I got a good answer for this one. So I will tell you that every year my class grew, and we did a lot of reading. Reading was one of the things that most of the bigs that came were very comfortable with, listening to a child read, helping them with some phonics skills if they were lacking sure. some, helping them with sight words. They were more comfortable with that maybe than the math area. And so most
I 100% agree with that.
I'm
not a math person.
And I was always called a reading teacher, even though I was an elementary school teacher. So I know that my love was reading. And so when my bigs came, we had things prepared for them that was reading oriented. And I will tell you that my kids never left my room not on grade level. It didn't matter where they came in, they never left not on grade level. And the bigs were very impactful on that. We had one big that I will tell you, I had a girl that was two or three grade levels behind, and the big came from the bank. And she only had her lunch hour, and so she would come over for about 30 minutes twice a week, because we asked for an hour a week. She'd come over 30 minutes twice a week. That girl left on grade level. I mean, she even left above grade level. And I know that that one-to-one interaction is so, so important. But more than the academic results that we saw, those kids' self-esteem rose. Kids that would never raise their hand now were raising their hands, wanted to be a part of the classroom, just from the interaction that they had and the encouragement that they got from that big. Not that we don't encourage them as teachers, but we have 1 to 28.
Right.
They have 1 to 1. So they could listen to them, they could encourage them, and they could really dig into what seems to be the issue, you know, to make them feel more confident. And then on top of that, attendance would improve. Because not only the day that the big came, but the bigs would generally leave with a little bit of a homework assignment. So, for instance, they'd say, you know, today we read Junie B. Jones' book. Next week, check one out of the library and read it before I come, and that way we can talk about it, and then we'll do another one. So they'd kind of give them a little teaser to get them going for the remainder of the week.
To get them to do it on their own, even.
Yes, yes. And so, therefore, their attendance got better. And, I mean, statistically, I'm not a data person, which the school district would go, baloney, you were. But I that's not the love of my life. So I don't have exact numbers to give you, but I will tell you, every year that I did it, my kids grew every year.
That's
and
awesome.
Most of them, well over a year's growth. And the bigs will tell me they gained as much as the littles did.
Sure.
And my mom was a big until she was 90 years old. So when people tell me, well, I can't really do it, you know, my mom did it till she was 90.
That's amazing.
And she loved to cook. And the little girl we matched her with loved to cook. And they were at site-based level. And the little girl would go get cookbooks from the library.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would read the recipes to my mom and say, do you think that sounds like it might be good? And so that was their match, you know, back and forth with that. But my mom was able to feel useful.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody from the Big Brothers Big Sisters office used to go pick her up at the house and bring her to the school because I was working. I couldn't do that. And then they'd drop her back off after her hour. So, I mean, we will go the extra mile to help make sure these matches are successful.
Yeah, that's really great. How are parents involved in all of this? Is there anything for parents that you all offer to help the child in this process or to get matched or things like that?
The community-based matches have the parents very involved because they have to go through the paperwork. They go through the interview process with us. So we get to hear a lot from the parents as far as what they want for their child. They also get a monthly call from the match support specialist to ask questions for what kind of activities are the big and little doing, how safety questions about the match, child development questions, how are they doing in school, how are they doing with their friends, just general. So, and do you need anything from us? And, you know, through this pandemic, we've had people tell us, I don't have internet. We've been able to go, you know, scope that out and find that for them. You know, we need food. We've been able to find that for them. So through the pandemic, we were really there. But in the community-based program, we have a lot of interaction with the parents and the families. On the site-based program, the parents are invited to come and meet the big. They're always involved in the match as much as they want to be. Lots of times that when it is done in a school-based environment, they kind of rely on the teacher to be their voice, but they are certainly always welcome. And we are there for the whole family. So we will do, I mean, we have training modules that we can help parents with.
That's good.
We have all kinds of things that we can help the whole family with. And especially in our community-based program, it's a little bit more expected than it is in our site-based program.
Okay. Awesome. That's a lot of information.
See, I told you I could do that one. I may not know how we originated, but I do know all that.
No, that's really great. So let me ask you both this. Now that we're getting back open and semi back to normal, what are you guys planning to do in the next few months, or do you guys have any fundraisers? I know Big Brothers Big Sisters just finished up one, a big one. But what are you planning now that we're getting back into the swing of life on a normal scale? What do you all have planned?
Well, our board is going to meet in person for the first time in over a year.
So on the 17th, kind of I remember.
So that is
exciting when you haven't seen people for over a year.
Right. So we're looking forward to that. But we really are kind of looking at what we can do to meet our goal. And of different fundraiser options for looking ahead.
Right.
But also being cautious at this time of, okay, let's plan it out ahead away.
Right.
So just we're kind of dipping our toes a little.
Yeah, but. Yeah. You kind of have to. I mean, our board of directors at Thrive, we haven't had an in-person board meeting in over a year. And I think at our board meeting this week, we're actually going to determine how we're going to go forward. Are we going to start meeting again, or are we going to do a hybrid? Because I think people are finding that it's easier to sometimes meet via Zoom than to go get in your car, drive across town, leave your office when you can, you know, still do it, and it's quicker, and you're saving time too. So we've got both sides of that.
Right. And for us, I think, like, that's always going to be something that's an option.
Right.
Even though we will meet in person, like, if you can't make it, we always have that option now.
Right.
And everyone
isn't it cool?
Proficient.
I know. Yeah. Like I said, we're all CEOs in Zoom. Right. How about you, Brenda?
We are going to, actually, I have a plan for a event. Scary to even say those words. An event in August, because one of the new programs that we're going to start is Bigs with Badges. And so we are planning an August recruitment event, probably like an ice cream social at Washington Park, and invite the different law enforcement, but invite our bigs and littles. Maybe we have a firefighter right now that is a big, and maybe have him speak to his peeps about what it means
speak
to
his peeps.
Yep, to be a big. So we're going to do that. But we also have developed a board. We are finishing up right now doing board interviews and getting that board together as far as paper-wise. Mm-hmm. And then we are hoping at the end of the month that we can start having a every other month board meeting. And hopefully by the second one, we will be able to have it in person. But again, I love the option of doing Zoom. I just think it's not the same as coming in and being able to hug everybody and say, hey, you know, it's good to have you back. But it is a good option for people that can't get to the meeting to be able to Zoom in. So I think we will probably do hybrid. Mm-hmm. Our Albuquerque people actually like to come in person. They go to the Farmington one right now, and they actually are willing to come down in person to do our meeting. So I feel like we'll be a little negligent if I don't ask my board if any of them will show up when we've got people driving all the way from Albuquerque to meet with us to put everybody else on Zoom. So, and our first board meeting is at the end of this month, and it'll be like an inaugural board. We've not had one in years and years and years. So it's another new thing that I'm very interested in us having, and so we're going to grow from there.
Oh, that's really great. You mentioned something that made me think. The hardest thing in this pandemic for me was not being able to hug people. I'm such a hugger. And now I've had to really take a step back and assess, maybe people don't want me up in their space, you know? But that's just how I was raised. And, you know, you show love and friendship with a hug or some, you know, you show that. And I've had to really take a step back to not do that. And that's the hardest thing for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, right in the middle of the pandemic, when I see somebody at the store, I know I'm like, you know, that you haven't seen in a while.
Right.
And of course, I haven't really been to the stores much here and there, but because I do, you know, I went full on grocery pickup and, you know, anything.
That.
Oh, I know. Some of these things I'm just getting spoiled with, like Zoom and grocery pickup. And, you know, I mean, I miss the movie theater and I miss bowling alley. I mean, going out to eat. Oh my gosh, I haven't been in a restaurant, like in a restaurant, and dined and had a, you know, adult beverage and just enjoy.
Well, you can do that now.
I know, but I haven't yet.
Well, come on. You better hurry up.
I mean, there's just so many things that I think we all took for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when it's gone and, right. you know, we were talking before we went live on air that we were talking about, you know, COVID curves or COVID pounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got some. Mm-hmm. And I put on a few extra curves with COVID. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I like my curves. And I like that I got my chips and dip sitting in front of Netflix, you know. And it's just been a lot of fun. And now we have to get back to the real world. But that's more exciting to me because mm-hmm. now we can start, you know, getting back into it. We're working on several big events going forward in the future. We're about to wrap up our 30 Guns in 30 Days, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we will be able to have one other fairly large, sizable event before the end of the year. And what happens when Thrive does these fundraisers, that pays for our operations mm-hmm. so that all of the money that is donated from the community members goes directly into your agency. So we want to make sure that's clarified for everyone. I will let you all know that Thrive in Southern New Mexico is moving into Lincoln County to start serving Lincoln County as well. So that's huge because they don't have any representation mm-hmm. up there. We do have several Thrive partner agencies that cover Lincoln County. We have a lot of Lincoln County folks that come down here and shop and do business and donate mm-hmm. to our local programs. I mean, it's amazing because they don't have a Thrive or even a United Way representing that area. Mm-hmm. So we do get donations, believe it or not, that are designated to Dolly Parton's Imagination Library or Big Brothers Big Sisters from Carrizozo or Ruidoso Downs, you know, that mm-hmm. type of thing. So it's very exciting to have another area of Southern New Mexico to help all of these folks in our communities that are truly in need. And that's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're never going to be in a situation where all of our there is no need, that everybody's just mm-hmm. happy and perfect and, right. you know, healthy and mentally healthy and, you know, all of that. So we're very excited to share that news. Is there anything else you guys want to share with the listeners right now about your programs?
I definitely want to share that just because we finished our Run for Kids' Sake on Saturday, that we are still collecting donations throughout this month. And probably even a little bit of next month. So if you have not given, there's lots of fundraisers that are thrown out on Facebook on a regular basis that you can still give to. Our address is 906 Virginia. You could drop a check off or drop money off to us there. We still will take your money if you haven't already donated. We made about $22,000, and
wow.
our goal was 25. So 22 was great. I'm not minimizing that, but our goal for Otero County was 25.
So you need $3,000 more.
Yeah, and being a new site manager, this is my first year here. I really, really didn't want to not make our goal. You know, I'm a huge fundraiser and I, mm-hmm. I do a pretty darn good job of it, but I don't know where to get that last $3,000 from. So if there's anybody out there that hasn't already given, I mean, $10 at a time brings it in. So
we are asking whoever's listening right now to call Brenda and give her $3,000.
Yes, 575-708-0716.
That's pretty cool.
It can
cool.
be two people giving me $1,500 each. I'd be okay with that too.
And that too.
They could go on Facebook and do it through my fundraiser for you, Brenda.
Yes, I'm fine with that too.
Oh, that's right, because you were part of the team
teams. Yes, he was a team captain.
I was a one-person team.
Yeah,
so
his team kind of bailed on him, so he would love to have that $3,000. And you know what? If you bring it to the agency, I'll be glad to put it on Miles' fundraiser. So there
Help
we go.
I mean, but still, $22,000 is amazing.
It is. It is.
I mean, we're still in pandemic times.
It
and people donating during this time is such a huge mm-hmm. thing to celebrate. I mean, we just raised $400,000 wow. in our community. That's the first time we've hit that mark in years as mm-hmm. as an agency, Thrive. And prior to that, United Way. So, I mean, people are giving. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. It's crazy that they're giving during this time, but mm-hmm. it's something to celebrate. So I commend you in your first not even full year for doing that.
We could take three $1,000 checks.
See, you're awesome. Again, folks, this is a non-adult beverage conversation. We're doing just fine.
and I'm not beyond begging, so I will go to that.
Neither am I, honey.
She'll come, I'll beg.
She'll go to your house and pick it up also.
I will, absolutely. She will. I don't even care where you live. If you live in Cloudcroft, I'll run up there. I mean, it does not matter.
She will, folks.
I will get it anyway. And again, I have people that will tell me, gosh, I can't ask for money. I said, neither can I if I was asking for it for myself. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for the kids
right.
of Otero County.
You're helping
it's
the community.
Easy to ask in that way. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Ryle, go on.
Absolutely.
Last statement from you.
Give to Brenda. She almost has her goal. Go to my Facebook page and give through me. That's fine. but for Imagination Library, like, we're happy-dappy getting books into the hands of kids. And thank goodness the post office never shut down. And so...
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
That has always been... Our program has been able to continue. So that's great.
Oh, that's great.
And maybe they can be at our event when we have our Bigs with Badges celebration. Maybe Dolly Parton could bring a booth or whatever. And maybe there'd be some kids to sign up there.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
They have siblings or
absolutely.
Whatever. So we can... Band together,
we can
Ron.
Do it.
We can do it. Well, thank you guys so much for being here today, and I had so much fun. I have so much fun talking to you guys. I appreciate it very much. You taking time out of collecting that extra $3,000,
and by here,
I know we'll be here for another 4 minutes, folks.
And then Ryle and I are going to go to lunch at Pizza Patio, so you could drop it off down there if you want to.
Or you can come by this 1601 10th Street in Alamogordo, Thrive in Southern New Mexico. I do want to mention one more time that you have 17 days left to get your 30 Guns in 30 Days raffle ticket. That ticket puts you in to 30 drawings. And if you're drawn out the first day, your ticket's still thrown back in, so you can win multiple times. There's no limit to how many times you can win. This is a fundraiser for Thrive in Southern New Mexico. And tickets are $50. Come on by 1601 10th Street, or you can give us a call, 437-8400. We do take cash, credit card, check. On the side, I can take diamonds, rubles, gold. No, I'm kidding. So we are going to go ahead and close out today for the Live with Thrive show. I am Stephanie Hale, your host. We'll be back next month with some new and exciting guests yet again. And I invite the two of you, Ryle and Brenda, to come back anytime. I know, Brenda, you're here every month.
Once a month Thursday.
On Thursdays. Yeah.
I'll be back Thursday.
Yep, she'll be back Thursday, folks. So be listening. Her and Michael just rev it up. I have to tell this funny quick story real quick before we get off the air. I was listening to Mike this morning, and he was talking in the news about the cannabis stores opening up and everything. And then all of a sudden he plays this amazing song, Wacky Tabacky, to go along with it. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. I was trying to drive straight down the road, and here he is cracking me up. So we have a lot of fun here, folks. We do. So thank you guys for listening. It's been fun. Again, thank you, Ryle and Brenda, for being
thank
here.
For
I really, really
you.
Do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you guys next month. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Live with Thrive show with your host, Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Catch the Live with Thrive show the second Tuesday of each month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.